Okay, good evening, everyone. Yes. Let's look to your neighbor and say a warm hello. After a long day, yeah, it's good to be in the house of God. It's good to boast about our Lord, yeah? Okay, so today's message, I want to dedicate this message to all the pastors, so to Pastor Brian. 20 years ago, he taught me something, so those 4 points, 20 years later, I will bring it out in the message. Then Pastor Benny is our own Greater Grace Concordance, Bible school, right? Co-laborer in the Lord. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Yeah. And Pastor Brian, and we have Pastor Sony here, who labors over his people. Let's give him a hand. And now this semester, our Greek professor, Pastor Guru. So today, you will see a lot of Greek coming out, and we are indebted to him. So let's turn to Luke chapter 14 and verse 30. Luke chapter 14 and verse 30. I'm sure Pastor Guru will be happy with my progress. Okay, Luke chapter 14, verse 30. Okay. Thank you for praying for me. I'm much better. I thank the Lord for the pain. It did a lot of good to me in my soul. Okay, Luke 14, verse 30. It says, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Let's read it together. "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and you would show us your love, you would show us your heart, you would show us your eyes, Lord, and you would minister to us, Father, and you would heal us and restore us and deliver us, Lord, and quicken us, Lord, and bless us beyond what we can ask or think. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I've been thinking about this verse this whole week, meditating on it. And I was thinking about this, and this is in context of Luke 14, and all of you know the context that if we want to be a disciple, we have to count the cost, we make a foundation, we build a tower, and we have to see if we have enough money, and if we are not able to complete, people start mocking us and saying, "What? This man began to build and was not able to finish." That word "finish" there is the word ektelesai, which comes from the Greek word ekteleo, E-K-T-E-L-E-O. And it means to complete fully. What does it mean? To complete fully. Now, many times we see things in life as a process. We build a house. Many times some people build a house, but they are not able to complete it. We see bridges on the road, half-built bridges, right? We see people who are dating but not able to marry, correct? Or hoping to marry. Pregnancy, conception happens, but there's miscarriage or the child dies, right? So in life, we want to see this aspect of something which begins and then something which ends. And Hezekiah said this in Isaiah 37:3. He said, the children are coming to birth, but there's no strength to deliver. The context is the enemy king comes and they are afraid. So that's the context. But when we look at this statement, "This man began to build and was not able to finish," the question we have to ask ourselves is, can this be said about God? Can this be said about God? God began to build and was not able to finish. Can we say this about God? So, in our first point, we see God's work of salvation. And I've been teaching Old Testament, and the whole Old Testament, we said in our class, is Christocentric. It centers around the person and the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Starting from Genesis 3:15, where the promise is given, "The seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent." And if you read the Old Testament and you see it chronologically, you see Adam, and then the line goes down to Seth. Then there's the flood. Then the line goes down to Noah. Then the line goes down to Shem. And then in Genesis 12, God chooses one man, Abram. And then the line goes down to Isaac. Then it goes down to Jacob. Then it goes down to the 12 tribes. Then it goes down to Judah. And when you come to 1 Samuel, David is from the house of Judah. And you see the next king, Solomon. And then the kingdom splits. And the southern line is kept. 722, they go into captivity. 70 years later, they come back. And is Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. And we see the temple is built, the walls are built, the people are saved during Esther's time. And then there is a 400-year period between Old Testament and the New Testament, which is known as the silent years. And then John 1:14, right? And the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Can you imagine? Right? God orchestrating this whole plan where his son would come. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. Now this is the key, and we did it in the book of Ruth, that Boaz is a type of Christ. And these are the 4 points Pastor Brian taught me 20 years back. The first point is, to redeem Ruth, he had to be a kinsman redeemer, number one. Number two, he had to have the right to redeem. Number three, he had the ability to redeem. He should have had the ability to redeem. And number four, he should have the willingness to redeem. And the Bible says that he is a type of Jesus Christ, because Boaz means in him is strength. That's the name meaning. And in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, because the children were flesh and blood, he also took upon what? Flesh and blood. Kinsman redeemer. Right? The right to redeem in Hebrews 10, 12. 10:11, the priests kept on giving the sacrifices, but they didn't have the right. But Jesus was given the right to redeem. Then in 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, the ability to redeem. You know, many times this happens to us. There is an emergency about money, and this is what we say. You know, if I had the money now, I would give it to you right away. But I don't have. There is a what? Willingness, but not ability. But Christ had to have what? The ability, right? And then the fourth one is the willingness. In Hebrews 10:9, I come to do your will, O God. I want to do your will, O God. And so the qualification when he was born and he did all these miracles was this, that he had to be sinless. He had to be sinless. In Hebrews 4:15, it says he was without sin. In 1 Peter 2:22, he did not commit sin. In 1 John 3:5, in him is no sin. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, the first part, he who knew no sin. So now just imagine, he's tested at every point and he doesn't sin. And now let's turn to John chapter 19. Verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now, when you look at John chapter 19, verse 28, the word accomplished in the Greek is tetelestai, T-E-T-E-L-E-S-T-A-I. So that is the form. And that is also repeated in verse 30 when Jesus said, it is finished. And you don't have to worry about the Greek word, but I'll give you the meaning. It comes from the word teleo, which means to end, to complete, to execute, to conclude, discharge, accomplish, make an end, expire, fill up, finish, go over, pay, perform. Now just think. Now Jesus is on the cross. He's breathing heavily. He's really thirsty. But in his mind, what does he know? The work is finished. Imagine the football game. We have put the goals in, 60 seconds left. Everybody's waiting for the referee. So imagine the scene in heaven. I'm speculating. The Father, the Holy Spirit, the angels. Okay? They're waiting. 10, 9, 8. And then he dies. And there's what? Rejoicing in heaven. That's incredible. Because Because any moment if he changed his mind, that work which God began from Genesis 3:15, any moment the son would have changed one thing, said, "Father, stop it right now, 10 seconds to go, stop it," the work would not have been finished. It would have been an incomplete work. But it is what? Finished. Isn't that beautiful? You know, I was thinking of Usain Bolt. He won the 3 times, 100 meters, 200, 4 into 100, 3 Olympics in a row. And he said, "I am the greatest." And that was such a such an inflated statement. Actually, when we read the Bible, Jesus is the greatest. And when you and I receive the gospel, that one act of faith in Christ, guess what? It saved us forever. That's the starting point. Isn't that beautiful? You are saved forever, past, present, and future. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:27, he did it once and for all. 9:12, he once and for all obtained eternal redemption. Hebrews 10:12, one sacrifice for sins forever. In 9:28 of Hebrews, once offered. And guess what? We are what? Saved forever. Now many of us are happy that we are saved. Then the second question comes to us is, when we are walking with Jesus and then everything doesn't go so well, right? Everything doesn't go so well or the way we want it to go, right? The second thing we must understand, and this is what the Bible says, and this is what the Bible testifies, is God's work of preservation. Now, this is a very important teaching in the Bible. Many of us understand salvation, but many of us don't understand preservation. And let's turn to Philippians 1 verse 6. And I want somebody from the who has a King James Bible to read it. Right, Pastor Benny? Yeah, 16:11. Yeah, Philippians 1 verse 6. Yeah, will perform it, right? See, when you read the King James, it says will perform it. And I've memorized this verse. This was one of our favorite verses. But when you get into the Greek, it's a beautiful word. It's a word called epiteleo. It is E-P-I-T-E-L-E-O in the verb form. And what epiteleo means is a beautiful thing. Teleo means to bring to an end or to complete. But epi, that part which is put into that word, is an intensive. You know what it's saying? Fully bring to an end. Are you understanding? So this is what the NKJV says, complete. NASB says perfect. ESP says to complete. NIV says will carry it on to completion. But this is what the Amplified says. Will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting it and bringing it to full completion in you. Isn't that beautiful? That the Lord who started the good work in you will what? Bring it what? Fully to completion. There will not be a single thing lacking. Fully to completion. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24, may the Lord sanctify you spirit, soul and body completely. And faithful is he, and faithful is he is able to do it. In Jude 24, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you before him, what? Blameless. In Hebrews 7:25, this is what it says. And this is what assures us of preservation. It says this. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That word uttermost is a beautiful word in the Greek. It says this. It is P-A-N-T-E-L-E-S, panteles. And the Greek is aistopanteles, which means teles means to end, pan means all. It means unto the complete end. Isn't that good? Uttermost means what? Unto the what? Complete end. That is why you can't be lost. Is that clear? So God will preserve us. So don't worry if you're going to land in heaven. You are. You are going to land in heaven. Because that is what He promises us. What can separate us from the love of God? Which is, you know, if you read Romans 8, shall height or depth or famine or this or that. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So the first point is salvation. When He said it is finished, He did the work once and for all. The second point is what? Preservation. He who began a good work with you will bring it to its what? Complete end. Right? Isn't that good? Are you excited this evening? Yes? So we can just relax because God is in control. The third point is the volition of the believer. Now this is really important. You and I, our Christian life, I've said this before, I want to say it again. We are a work in progress. Till we die or till we get raptured, we are a work in progress. God is working in us. He is working on us. He is working through us. Right? And this is what happens now. Now the issue is about my will. I can go either positive or negative to the plan of God in my life. That's my choice. Right? And obedience to God is the key. Now this is what Titus 1:16 says. They profess to know God, but in their works they deny Him. This is talking about professing believers in the last day who say, yes, I'm a believer. I profess to know God, but in my works I deny Him. That's for those kind of people. But the application as a Christian is, can I profess one thing and live in another way? Can I say I believe something, but live in another way? And the question we have to ask ourselves is this. And this is an important question. You and I, because of our choice, we can choose not to follow God. What is it? We can choose to turn our backs on God. We are not going to follow God. We can choose. It's a choice. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, will God choose to let go of me? It's an important theological question. If I choose today to not follow the Lord anymore, right? Will God choose to let go of me? Important question, right? And you know what the Bible says? He won't let go of you. The Bible says in Luke 22:31-34, Satan asked permission to sift Peter's faith, and Peter denied the Lord, but in John 21, the Lord restored Peter, right? And then in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached the first message, 2:41, and 3,000 got saved. In Acts 4:4, 5,000 got saved. Right? So, the other example we see is this, Jonah. Right? God told him something. He did not obey God. Right? God didn't stop. God went after him. Jonah chapter 2. He repented. The fish vomited him out. Yet 40 days. The first day, Nineveh starts repenting. Correct? Then Jonah says, I want to die. Sits under the plant. I love the plant. The plant withers. And God then has a conversation. He valued the plant. It came in a day and it went. But 101,20,000 people who don't know the left and right. See, the key we need to understand today is this. I can have a plan for God which is about me. But God has a plan for me which is greater than me. And that's what I want to say. God has a plan for each one of us, what which is greater than us. Each one of us has a potential. If Satan wants to get something, he wants to attack something, he wants to attack a man and a woman's call. Right? He wanted to attack Peter's call. He wants to attack. Why? Because the potential of those who will get saved through the life of Peter and the call of Peter. And so this is important today for us to understand that There is a difference today between sin and decision. Like, let's say I'm following God and I fall down and God picks me up and I follow and I fall down again. The righteous falleth, what? 7 times, right? But I'm still following God. But let's say this is God's path and I say, bye-bye, and I go this way. This is a decision. This is a decision. But in this decision, I'm going far away from God. Nobody could look at Jonah in the boat and say he's doing something wrong. But he knew in his heart. And the key to our lives in this walk with God is repentance. Is repentance. You know, many times, you know, let's say I have a bad marriage. I can say, Lord, do something with my wife. Right? Fix her up. And I get the benefit. And the Lord will say, read Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. No, no, Lord. That's, you know, understand. Please stand. No, no. We have to what? Repent. 2 Corinthians 7. Paul said, I wrote you a letter. 8, 9, and 10. It made you sorry, but it was a different kind of sorry. It made you sorry so that you could come to God. And then there's no sorrow after that. If you read Revelations, you read every church, there's a deficiency which God finds with every church. And then what does he say? In some churches, repent from when thou art fallen. You know what is the fix today? We don't have to make the Christian life very complicated. It's very simple. It's very simple. Any problem which we face in our lives, we have to come to the Bible. What does the Bible say about it? And then there has to be what? A change of mind. I'm going this way. I think I'm right. Judges 21:25. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. But 1 Kings 15:5. David did what was right in the Lord's eyes. Amen? And that's the key to our lives. It's very simple. If we sin, we confess. If we're on the wrong road, we what? Repent. The prodigal son. Oh, my father's house. So many beautiful things. What? There's a change of mind which led to a change of steps and come back to the father's house. And we are what? We are restored. Isn't that beautiful? I think that is incredible today. In closing today, in the book of Ruth, Naomi made a decision based upon food. So there was a famine, so they moved from Bethlehem to Moab and stayed there for 10 years. After 10 years, husband died, 2 sons died. Okay, now, you know, a family famine. Now, you know, the Lord has visited Bethlehem, let's go back. There's no mention of Naomi repenting. But Ruth, this is what she said, Moabite woman, 1:16 and 1:17. I will go with you, your God shall be my God, your people shall be my people. And guess what? In the most horrible book of Judges, and in the most difficult time in Ruth's life, she made a decision. And that decision changed her life. It not only changed her life, it changed Naomi's life. And she is put in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Right? She married Boaz. She is the mother of Obed, who is the mother of Jesse, who is the mother of David. And a whole book is dedicated to her, the Moabite girl. Right? It's there in Matthew chapter 1. Because God was pleased with her faith. And this is the key today. No matter what the circumstances, we can make a decision. What is it? We can make a decision to have faith in God. To follow his way. Secondly, how do we do it now? Let's turn to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And this is how. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto whom? Jesus. That's a present active participle. How do I follow Jesus? Like, you know, we shared it on Saturday in our Bible study. Paul, Lord, thorn in the flesh. 3 times. God is saying, look up. Look up. My grace is sufficient for you. See, the key in our lives is we just need to be preoccupied with the Lord. Many times we get preoccupied. Joshua is preoccupied in chapter 1. Okay, the conquest. How am I going to do it? And what did the Lord say? This book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Don't get preoccupied about how you're going to take the land. Be preoccupied with the word of God. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Martha, all the vessels are ringing. Mary, preoccupied with Mary. No, Jesus says no. She has chosen the good thing. Right? What is it? Hear the word of God. Hear the word of God. Are we understanding? So, looking unto Jesus. Peter, shall I walk on the water? Come. The moment he was looking unto Jesus, it's fine. Matthew 14. The moment he looked at the storm, started sinking. It doesn't matter what the storms are, what the situation is. You keep what? Let's look unto what? Jesus. He began it. And the Bible says he is the what? Finisher. That word again is teleotes. The one who will bring it to a complete end. And last verse for today. Thank you for being a good audience. 2 Timothy 4 verse 7. And let's read it. I think it's a beautiful verse. Let's read it together. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. How? A volition. Decision to obey God. He didn't do it in his strength. This is Paul talking at the end of his life. I have fought. It's agonizoma in the Greek, which means like when you're in a wrestling match, you will put all your effort not to lose, right? All your effort till the last thing. And in the same way, when temptations and trials come our way, we put all our effort to what? To resist it. Right? Doesn't matter. I'm going forward. Right? I have what? Finished the race. Again, the same word. Teleo. To finish. The Christian race is not a 100-meter sprint. It is a 42-kilometer marathon. And the more we serve God and the more years pass, that when you come to the end of the race, the mind is saying go forward, but the body can't go. You know? Everything is locking up, right? What acid is building up in the muscles? I don't know. It locks the muscles. You can't go. Mind is saying go. You can't go. Right? It's easier to begin with the Lord. It's difficult. But with the grace of God, I have finished the race. And then what? I have kept the faith. The faith. There's a definite article there. Pastor Guru taught us. The faith. The faith. It changes everything. It means I've kept the whole Bible. And then he says, the crown is laid up for me. Isn't it beautiful? You know, let this verse be our inspiration and be our prayer. And at the end of our life, let it be our confession. Isn't that beautiful? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Isn't that good? Right? In closing today, none of us know when is the rapture. None of us know when the Lord is coming. None of us know when is the day of our death. Every day is a brand new gift from God. Right? So live every day like it's your last day on the earth. Don't worry about this and that. Just go what? Forward march. Amen? So let's go forward. Let's not make the Christian life complicated. I sin, I'm sorry, Lord. Right? Somebody hurts me, I forgive. Correct? It's very simple. I hurt somebody, I say sorry. I'm on the wrong way, I repent. It's as simple as that. One decision changes everything. We make the Christian life too complicated. It's very simple. And guess what? The preacher is the sinner of them all. Because we are all a work in progress. And if you want to find fault, Jesus will show you his hands and his sides and he'll say, come, Can you find a fault with me? Come. Correct? And you can't find a fault. Because it is the Lord Jesus who died for us. It is the Lord Jesus who is keeping us. And one day, He will take us home. And He will say, well done, the good at what? Faithful servant. Right? Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We praise You. We worship You, Lord. Bless. Thank You for Your... Thank You that the gospel is such a good gospel, Lord. It saves us. It keeps us. One day it will glorify us. And it's all by grace. And we thank You, Lord. We praise You. We worship You. In Jesus' name, amen.